This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Shortly before being named to the Vedette Hall of Fame, Jim Kirk was named as editor-in-chief for the Los Angeles Times. Kirk is a former reporter for the Illinois State University newspaper and a 1987 ISU graduate. He is now leading the newsroom for the nation's fourth largest newspaper. He has a monumental task before him, unifying a recently unionized newsroom and helping the paper grow under ownership as it moves past former management controversies and sexual harassment claims against the CEO and publisher. And the problems come at a time when all newspapers are facing pressure from declining advertising revenue as the transition to a greater digital presence continues. Despite everything, Kirk tells GLT's Mike McCurdy, the Los Angeles Times is doing well, thanks in part to the Trump era.
Still very profitable, facing, you know, the same headwinds as everybody else in terms of declining print revenue, and we're seeing the stagnant kind of digital advertising growth. You know, the real opportunity is you've seen at the Washington Post and the New York Times, and it holds true for the LA Times, is really in digital subscription growth. I mean, we're seeing much more willingness on the part of readers, especially in this era, the Trump era, who are really willing to pay for good content, and that's really that's been the focus since I've been on at the LA Times and going forward.
How has the Trump administration helped the LA Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times, and other news gathering organizations?
Well, I think you've seen it pretty clearly. You know, the New York Times in their public filings, you know, the digital subscription growth at the New York Times has been incredibly dramatic over the past several months, and a lot of that due to what's happening in Washington. And, you know, it is certainly not the panacea, but it continues to see growth. Now, for L.A., in California in general, you know, the president has really pretty much had a bullseye in a lot of things that are very important to the readership of the Los Angeles Times. You know, he's targeted immigration. He's targeted climate change and environmental issues, which are extremely important to Californians. You know, so anytime that he takes takes aim at those issues, we see a spike in readership.
Yeah, so it's not really how the LA Times is positioned in Washington, D.C. and covering things happening inside the Beltway. It's about the issues that are important to California that are being affected by the policies in Washington.
Exactly. And, you know, we did a series of editorials. Actually, the predecessor of mine at the LA Times, smartly, kind of collected, the editorial page stance of the LA Times has been pretty strong in terms of its condemnation of Trump's policies. And so we put together a package really online called this Dishonest President. And it has an extremely long tail. You know, we see the traffic on that as, really strong engagement. It wasn't something that I think the paper really set out to do. You know, but the editorial stance is what it is on that page, and when you collect it into a powerful sort of set of editorials, it did really well. Now we also heard from the other side. You know, there are plenty of pro-Trump supporters in California, which makes for a pretty lively dialogue out there. So I think the LA Times right now is in really good position given the marketplace out there.
It's a really weird symbiotic relationship, isn't it, between a president who hates the media, yeah, who's bolstering the media.
Right.
I mean, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the LA Times may actually owe a debt of gratitude at some point to Donald Trump and his presidency to sort of buoy their financials.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the question is, does it go beyond this presidency, right? I mean, does the momentum continue after he's out of office? We'd like to think so, just because of some of the things that we're seeing. You know, we I think in the case of all newspapers right now, we have a much better handle on who is reading us, how they're picking us up, what really drives a reader from being just a sort of a casual reader to one that actually converts into a paid reader. That's really important data to have. It doesn't drive how you cover things, but it certainly guides you on understanding your reader in a much better way.
We really can't talk about Washington, D.C. coverage and the Trump administration and the media without talking about fake news. Mm-hmm. What do you think of how the president has used this term to characterize coverage he apparently doesn't like.
Just from somebody who oversees a newsroom, it's been, you know, it's fairly distressing when you have the most powerful person in the world really kind of lumping together this notion of fake news, which is a real problem and is obviously is playing a key element in what's being investigated in Washington. You know, when you lump the traditional media, the mainstream, and you know, media into that, it's part of the noise. And for those who are not really paying attention, it becomes a bit of a negative a pall over the industry. Now, you've seen some, you know, both the New York Times and the Washington Post and even the LA Times to a smaller scale counter that with, you know, the Washington Post with their new tagline, "Democracy dies in darkness." New York Times spending a lot of money on advertising, especially over the award season. You know, I think collectively as an industry, we have to do a better job countering that kind of rhetoric, just because I think it hurts us all.
It's distressing for a number of reasons, but newspapers and reporters strive for accuracy. I mean, that's what we're trained to do, right?
Exactly.
And when we make a mistake, it's like, oh my God, now we got to go back and do a correction, and people are not going to believe the story at all, and all of this.
Right.
Is there a renewed effort of any sort at the papers you've been associated with to make sure that all the facts are right, so the term fake news can't be easily used to describe an article? Or are you just doing what you've always done?
No, I think you hit on something, and it's something we've talked about at the LA Times, and I'm sure it's happening in other newsrooms, is really kind of a renewed effort to make sure that, you know, we are accurate, that is the number one goal. You do not, you know, especially in this era, want to give one side or another a reason to point a finger at you, if at all possible. It's happening on a daily basis anyway. So yes, we, you know, and it comes at a time when obviously resources in the newsroom are strained. You don't have as many safety nets as you used to have. But it is something we talk about with our public editor. There's been a sort of a renewed, I would just say, just heightened awareness of it.
So is the LA Times a local paper, a California paper? Are those terms irrelevant when considering the paper's digital presence?
There are a lot of things that happen in California that first that sort of, you know, kind of become part of the ecosystem in the United States. You know,
I mean, it's almost its own nation state.
You know, it's the sixth largest economy in the world, California is. And so what we've tried to do is really, we cover national and foreign events through sort of this California lens. And it's, you know, working on those issues that are really focusing, doubling down on those issues that are really important to people in California. You know, so that, which means covering, and when we're our foreign reporting staff is really covering things that are important, like immigration. You know, we view Mexico, Central America as our, you know, coverage area. We want to own that. We want to own Asia Pacific. Just because of the diversity of LA. And then from a California standpoint, it is really those issues we think are extremely important, and they become important to the rest of the nation. So I think if you focus on what's happening in your community and in your backyard, importantly, you know, California is a unique state in that it is so large, that we become this sort of national voice just by default.
That's Jim Kirk. He's a 1987 Illinois State grad and editor-in-chief at the Los Angeles Times. He's back in Bloomington Normal as he's being named to the Vedette Hall of Fame. We touched on the financial struggles facing print media. There was more going on at the Los Angeles Times in the newsroom, which certainly didn't help the paper's competitiveness. When you were called upon to step in, what was the state of the newsroom and why?
You know, I think there had been a history of a lack of communication in the newsroom, which led to some dissent over the past few years. And, you know, another new editor came in recently and didn't mesh well with the staff. So when I came back in January, you know, things were, you know, pretty tough, I'd say. You know, the newsroom had just voted to unionize. There was a bad relationship between the editor and the staff. There was a lot of distrust between both sides. So I would say there was a lot of distraction and morale was pretty low. So the first order of business, I really got off the plane. I called a newsroom-wide meeting and I took questions for 50 minutes. Just let people vent, listen to them. You know, I didn't have all the answers on day one, but you know, and then proceeded to make sure that I was in the newsroom a lot, talking to people, trying to re-engage and focus on the work at hand.
There was newsroom anger over how your predecessor handled coverage of Disney and its relationship with the city of Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Have you reviewed that reporting and talked with the reporters?
Yeah, and you know, I actually, when I was interim editor, I was part of that editing of that series. So I had obviously had no problem with the series.
There's been no retraction.
No retraction, and you know, I've been. You know, told the reporters and the editor the story was solid and terrific and the type of reporting that we should do, and reiterated that actually again with the staff as part of introducing the new ownership last week. You know, that was one of the stories I highlighted as some of the great work we've done in the past several months.
In an article about you taking over as editor-in-chief, the LA Times cited analysts who said unifying the newsroom will be key to your and the newspaper's success. Yeah. How do you do that, and what have you accomplished in the last 3 months?
You know, I think obviously you have to have the newsroom in step as much as possible with aligned with the goals. And so, you know, I think the first order of business was really just trying to settle things down and trying to get the staff really to realize that we are all in this together. And, you know, it had been a tough union fight. I addressed that issue head on. I'd been, you know, on the management side, you know, so I had to sort of tell the staff what the management point of view was on unionization and why we felt it was better without a union. You know, so that was a tough period. I addressed that head on with the staff and said, look, we have a union now. The goal is to try to find the best contract that we can that works for both sides, and again, just work together on being the best paper that we can. Even despite all the distractions and everything that over the past several months and years, this is a newsroom that continues to pump out great, great work. And I mean, not even the work that, you know, the investigations that take months. Really, the daily beat reporting. I've been impressed with how much great enterprise work comes off of just the daily beats there, and continues to do so.
Part of the problems plaguing the Times were workplace misconduct allegations and sexual harassment lawsuits involving the Los Angeles Times publisher CEO Ross Levinson, and it didn't help that Louis Dvorkin and the editor-in-chief you replaced had a business relationship. What's it like managing a newsroom in the Me Too era?
We were obviously in the center of it from a coverage standpoint, you know, and broke some great stories on some Hollywood misconduct. Did some really good reporting on James Toback, which others had followed after that. You know, I was asked a question myself in the newsroom by one of the top columnists, you know, whether I'd ever had a sexual harassment mm-hmm. Claim against me. I hadn't. And, you know,
that generated applause, which is sort of sad, really, right?
But, you know, just reiterate that, you know, there is zero tolerance anywhere for that. And, you know, in newsrooms, when you're covering that issue on a daily basis in the news, you know, just make sure that you know, if there are any issues like that, that they are dealt with head on and as swiftly as possible.
You've said you're not at the LA Times to watch it shrink, but will the newsroom have to shrink more before it can grow again? Where are you in terms of the number of reporters you have and the strength the newsroom has to have to do what it needs to do?
You know, the new owner, Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, soon to be owner, I should say, the deal has not yet closed, but he has stated publicly, and again with the staff last week, that, you know, look, he's here. He sees this as wanting to save the paper and you know, make it thrive well into the future. And he sees this as a purchase for his family that goes beyond this generation into the next generation. Saying the right things about, you know, really investing in the journalism, which you have to do. I mean, I think you look at the Washington Post and what Jeff Bezos has done, just, you know, by injecting money for more resources, not only in on the reporting side, but and this is something that isn't talked about a lot, but really on the technology side, on the platform and analytics and data. So really understanding your reader in a way that we haven't done in the past is really key. And so far the new owner is talking that game, which is music, I think, to everybody's ears.
So, and you're not at a critical point where stories go unreported, or that you're sort of in this point where the paper is losing credibility because you just can't cover everything that needs to be. I mean, you can never cover everything, right?
Yeah.
But are you comfortable with the newsroom staffing levels that you're doing an adequate job of covering California and Washington and the stories that need to be covered?
Yeah, so I would say on that one, we're not like some newspapers that are missing huge, we're big government agencies aren't being covered. We're certainly, you know, we're still a significant size newsroom. However, what I will say is that, you know, we've had to shrink like other newsrooms. And the problem with that, we still, you know, the appetite is still the same. You know, you're still trying to cover what you covered before with fewer people. And the problem with trying to cover everything is that you can only then go, an inch deep and you're a mile wide. The things that we won't do going forward are just as important as the things that we will do. So that we are clear about what we really want to focus on. And I think that's true for every newsroom in the country.
Jim Kirk is a 1987 Illinois State University graduate and the editor-in-chief of the Los Angeles Times. He's back in Bloomington Normal, being named to the Vedette Hall of Fame. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. What's the future of the print edition of not only the LA Times, but of most newspapers? Are we going to continue to have a paper newspaper on our doorsteps?
All markets are different, right? So you have different types of readership, and you know the readership and print readership in Chicago is different than the print readership in San Francisco and LA and Boston. So it's going to be different for each market. I do think at some point you will see probably, and we've seen this in other markets, where you know some days of the week probably there won't be a published paper. That's not going to happen in LA or Chicago anytime soon. But in some markets, you're going to start seeing more of that. It's people forget that the largest expense really isn't your newsroom. It's printing and
distributing
that paper on a daily basis, getting it to the porch or to the driveway, and you and I've seen it. You probably see it on campus here. There's a generation of people who are reading news but have never picked up a newspaper, and those trends will continue. When print finally goes away, it's anybody's guess at this point.
When you talk about a digital subscription, are we talking about a PDF version of sorts of a print newspaper, mm-hmm. or are we talking about just a website, or both?
I think when I talk about digital, it's really about the phone. It's the most personal technology. It's where people really, kind of run their lives through their phone on a daily basis. And so when we work with our digital team at the LA Times, even at the Sun Times before that, we were really focused on how is that content going to be accessed on the phone? And it's different than how it's accessed on a desktop or a laptop. So that's where we are focusing a lot of our energy. Now, there is a sizable audience for what we call the e-paper, which is really the replica of the printed paper. And I'd say that group has sort of been in the middle. You know, they're younger readers who kind of grew up with a newspaper but love the fact that they can read it on their tablet or on their phone in the same format and the same curation that we give them in print.
Los Angeles Times editor-in-chief and Illinois State University graduate Jim Kirk talking with GLT's Mike McCurdy. Kirk was inducted into the Vedette Hall of Fame on Saturday, a recognition for former students who worked at the campus newspaper. Kirk also addressed a controversy over non-reporters contributing online content, possibly blurring the line between news and advertising. Kirk says there's no strategy for a second newsroom writing for the web. Also inducted into the Vedette Hall of Fame was GLT correspondent and former Pantograph sports editor Brian Bloodworth.